This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
As the great basketball philosopher Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie. And as Matt Coleman said at the end of the North Carolina game yesterday, game. Welcome back to another edition of the Droppin' Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas from orangebloods.com. This is episode 53, and the Longhorns are champions. They returned back to Austin yesterday, champions of the Maui Invitational held in Asheville, North Carolina. They're 4-0 to start the season. They knocked off North Carolina in a thrilling game. Poor Roy Williams at North Carolina. Just can't beat the Longhorns. He better hope he never sees them deep in the NCAA tournament, because he just, for whatever reason, cannot beat Texas. And Texas has had that program's number on the hardwood for a long time now. But the Longhorns, champions of the Maui Invitational, they won 3 games in 3 days. They won 3 different games in 3 days against 3 good but different opponents, forcing a miss right at the buzzer against Davidson to win that game by 2 points, coming out against Indiana and blowing them out by 22 points with statistically the best defensive performance of the Shaka Smart era at Texas if you look at adjusted points per possession. So how many points the team gives up per 100 possessions adjusted for the opponent. It was the best mark that Texas has ever had under Shaka Smart. And then again, the North Carolina game, kind of a game of, a tale of two halves. Texas was great in the first half. You knew North Carolina was going to come back in the second half. Ended up being a really tight back-and-forth game down the stretch. And then Matt Coleman, what can you say, man? He goes out and knocks down the game winner to give Texas that victory in the Maui Invitational. So I'm just going to go through in this podcast and talk about kind of a quick recap of the event, but also just some main takeaways about why I think this team is different, and why I think that these results, what they say about the future. I was thinking earlier this week back to when Texas won at Purdue last season, and it was a fantastic win against a good Purdue team. Purdue didn't end up having a typical Purdue type season, but you don't go to Purdue and win on the road often if you're a non-conference team. I forget the stat, but it hadn't happened in like years, and Texas went up there and won the game. And kind of thinking at that point, okay, this team could be for real. But I was thinking back to that game, Texas was like had a flawless performance in that game. I mean, offense, defense, execution on offense late in the game and in the half court. I mean, it was about as good as it could reasonably get for the Longhorns. They played like an A-plus game to beat Purdue. And when you play an A-plus game with a team like Texas, you're probably going to win the game. But the thing about that contest was it happened so early in the season. We didn't really realize it at the time, or perhaps I'm speaking more of myself. That was until their final, 5-1 finish the season. That was basically the peak. I don't think Texas played a game as good as that until they started reeling off wins late in Big 12 play with different personnel and defense and things like that. But it was just a flawless performance. And that wasn't the case in Asheville, North Carolina for these wins. They weren't flawless performances. So I'm going to get into that a little bit more, and also the individual players, areas of the team that can improve, and just some things that stood out to me. But really just kind of a quick recap going through those 3 different games. The Davidson game, Texas, and Shaka Smart mentioned he thought the guys had a little bit of nerves, and also, too, that they were so fixated on what Davidson does in the half court with their offense. A really, really good offense coached by, I think, one of the best X's and O's guys in college basketball. And I think Texas was so had this heightened awareness of what they run on offense and their half court sets and things like that, that they got down into certain situations kind of later in the clock. They didn't guard the basketball very well. A lot of one-on-one buckets went Davidson's way, which was surprising. I mean, Davidson earned those buckets, definitely, both in the low post. Jericho Sims kind of had a weird low post game where he just kept getting beat on these little kind of, you know, ball fakes and mini hook shots and things like that, despite being the superior athlete and quicker guy down there. But even the Texas guards let the ball get into the paint too much, gave up some buckets there, some easy assists and things like that. But Texas on offense was pretty good. You look at the game, let's see, points per possession, 1.24 points per possession. I think adjusted, it ended up being 125.2 points per 100 possessions, which was only bested, I think, once last season, or it might have been the top mark compared to last season. Obviously, Texas struggled with some of their offensive efficiency. Actually, not some of them. They struggled in offensive efficiency last season. But I think 125.2, I think that Oklahoma State game on the road last year was either 125.1 or 125.2, but you get the point. Statistically, it was basically the best performance Texas had at any point last season. So they did some really good things on offense. They got the ball into the paint a lot. They drove in. They kicked it out. They created a lot of rhythm and flow kind of in that free, fast attacking kind of offense they want to be in the half court. And they held on for dear life at the end. Davidson went for the win. Andrew Jones actually fell for a little bit of a ball fake. And the big guy, Sam Manega, who had a really good game for Davidson, got a pretty clean look at the rim for three, and it just missed the shot. And Texas was able to hold on and win that game. So I had a hunch, you know, kind of coming out of that Indiana game, Texas is really going to defend. That's what Shaka's going to hammer home. That's what they're going to do, is they're going to come out and really defend. And that's what they did with statistically the best defensive performance of the Shaka Smart era. And that was a big matchup, too, for Texas in the front court in terms of rebounding and competing with Trace Jackson Davis, who is one of the best front court players in the country, and also Race Thompson as well, a 6'8 junior that's really coming on for Indiana. Texas, you know, Shaka Smart said they wanted to hold Thompson and Jackson Davis to 24 points or less combined. They ended up scoring 21. Funny that against Stanford, the next game for Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis went off for 31 points and went to the free throw line 14 times. So he is a really good player, and that was a pretty solid job that Texas did against him. But they competed on the glass really, really well. And the interesting thing about the Indiana game was Texas dealt with major foul trouble issues. And it was guys like Brock Cunningham and Royce Hamm. Coming, really stepping up. Those guys combined to play 50 minutes in that Indiana game. Brock Cunningham played 30 minutes and led the team with 11 rebounds. He led everybody with 11 rebounds. He led the team in offensive rebounds with 3. He led the team in steals with 3. And while Greg Brown and Kai Jones and you know, Jericho Sims dealt with foul trouble, I mean, those guys combined, looking at it right now in that Indiana game, 25, only played 39 minutes combined of those three guys. And there's going to be some nights that those three guys might play close to 90 minutes in games. So Texas really had to lean on its bench to go out and compete against that front court and rebound. But that was a kind of a different, we're going to lead the way with our defense kind of game and really win the battle on the glass. The North Carolina game, like I said, a tale of two halves. Texas, like it did against Indiana, really came out and just stunned its opponent with just how aggressive it was. And Texas did a really good job in that first half of making the adjustment to say, hey, we're going to front the low post. We're going to make these inexperienced guards have to throw it over us or figure out another way to get that ball in there. The post entry is such a big part of North Carolina's offense, whether it's in transition or the half court or whatever it is. They want the ball to get into the post. And Texas did a good job fronting the post in that first half, and it sparked a 26-5 run because they got some turnovers. They frustrated North Carolina's backcourt. They got on transition. Texas guards, once they settled in and kind of figured out how North Carolina was going to defend the game, they did a good job of just staying with getting around the corner, even if it was kind of extended way beyond the perimeter, getting around that hedge and the ball screen and things like that, and just getting into the paint and just start to pop the ball around. Just start popping it around the perimeter, start to attack those closeouts, shoot the ball confidently from three-point range. I think they shot 7 of 15 from 3 in the first half, and it ended up taking a 48-28 lead into the break. But you knew North Carolina was going to come out and play better in the second half. And they did. Texas took the aggressiveness and the energy battle to North Carolina and forced a lot of turnovers in the first half. It was the opposite in the second half. North Carolina really took it to Texas in terms of aggressiveness and physicality. And the crazy thing to me about that North Carolina game is Texas won the game despite getting 0 points and three rebounds from Jericho Sims in 13 minutes. Greg Brown was in foul trouble again. Andrew Jones only played 18 minutes. They gave up 20 offensive rebounds, which was 45.5% of North Carolina's misses. It went and grabbed off the glass. And North Carolina had a bunch of second chance points. They didn't really turn the ball over much in the second half. And yet Texas just found a way to win the game. It was ugly. They almost let the game slip through their hands. You know, Kai Jones down the stretch dropped an alley-oop in midair. That would have been an easy dunk. Courtney Ramey couldn't grab an air ball that Texas forced late in the game. Andrew Jones dribbled a ball out of bounds late in the game. They almost let that win literally just kind of slip through their hands. And they had so many things working against them in the second half. I usually don't spend much time talking about the officiating or writing about it because, you know, it's kind of an easy thing to pick on. And oftentimes, it's not nearly as bad as people think, whether it's favoring one team or the other. I thought the officiating in the second half was atrocious. There was one play in particular where Kai Jones is just competing for a rebound and tips the ball, not going over the back at all, and they call him for a foul. Greg Brown had his hands beside his side one point, just kind of moving out of the way of De'Ron Sharp and got called for a foul. They called a illegal screen on Gerald Liddell at one point where he was literally just standing. He wasn't moving at all. You know, the defender awkwardly ran into him. So I thought the officiating was really, really bad in the second half. And they really let North Carolina's bigs turn that game into a wrestling match for rebounds. And whereas when the contact was happening in other situations, there's just some weird whistles in that game. So Texas had a lot of reasons to just kind of feel sorry for itself and find a way to lose that game. And they didn't. And more importantly, Matt Coleman didn't. Matt Coleman simply would not let that basketball team lose that game. He said after the game that, you know, going to the huddle with about 25 seconds left with the game tied after North Carolina tied the game at the free throw line, Coleman said he had a smirk on his face because he said he's built for things like this and he just wanted to win. He repeated that phrase twice. He just wanted to win. And there was no doubt the ball was going to be in Coleman's hands. He was the best player on the floor. When Texas was really struggling on offense and trying to find its way, it was Coleman that had 14 second-half points, getting into the paint, knocking down mid-range shots, getting to the rim, stealing a loose handle, going out and transitioning, getting a layup, finding Jericho Sims for an alley-oop. It was the Coleman show in the second half when it was time to win the basketball game. And at a time when North Carolina was really forcing Texas into being far too perimeter-oriented and over-dribbling and things like that. But Coleman was making things happen, and there is no doubt that the ball was going to be in his hands. They said they kind of called a flat or a middle pick and roll for him. Looking back at the tape, Kai Jones didn't even really set a screen. He just kind of, you know, just acted like he was going to set a screen and then floated out to the perimeter to try to get a different look for himself and for Coleman. But Coleman drove to the paint, created separation with a step back. RJ Davis actually defended it pretty well. And Coleman put the shot up, and it hit the front of the rim and backboard and bounced in. He joked that he knew it was good all the way because it was online. He said it just needed to build some suspense for the fans, and that's exactly what it did as it fell through the net with 0.1 seconds left. And just the scenes after that were pretty cool to watch. Courtney Ramey, once he realized the clock was going to stop, went and literally tackled Matt Coleman. And after the game, there's some really great shots taken by the AP that I posted at orangeblitz.com, and I tweeted one of them as well, of guys just embracing with Coleman and hugging. There's a Longhorn Network video of a few of those guys doing a conga line with the trophy after the game. Like, it was really cool to see Texas just have that kind of experience. You know, yeah, they won the NIT a couple years ago, and that was a really happy moment for those guys, but a lot of new faces on this roster, just to see the pure joy that those guys experienced. But Matt Coleman, man, what a player. A guy that I think that I've always really admired and felt that he's had great leadership intangibles, winning intangibles. He's a very unselfish person. He's a great young man. And I think we're really seeing that right now this season. Whereas, you know, the record and things like that just wasn't what Texas or Coleman wanted the last few years. It's showing right now. He's playing outstanding basketball. All his numbers are basically up from last season. He's playing a ton of minutes. I mean, he took a hard fall in that North Carolina game, landed awkwardly on his leg, and he said he kind of dealt with like a dead leg for a little bit. But there he is playing 37 minutes for, you know, he played 39 minutes against Davidson, 35 minutes against Indiana, and 37 minutes against North Carolina. That's three games in three straight days. That is a lot of minutes. He played all those minutes and only turned the ball over eight times while handling the basketball a ton in those games. Only missed one free throw. Ended up having five steals. Dished out 15 assists over those three games. He was the best player on the floor, definitely in that second half against North Carolina. For much of the game against Indiana, I think he was the best player on the floor against Davidson. He earned the MVP nod from KenPom.com for two of those three games. It's, you know, Matt Coleman is, I think that guy is a winner. And I think we're really going to see that with this group this year. But he took over the game in the second half and just, you know, he was going to find a way for Texas to win that basketball game. And, you know, the Longhorns returned home a perfect 4-0 with a 3-0 stint at the Maui Invitational and three wins over quality opponents in their first tournament championship of the season. And I talked earlier about just some differences with the way this played out, you know, and why I think if you're a Texas fan, there are some reasons for optimism. And first, my main takeaway, it was pretty obvious. It became obvious about roles. And, you know, so much of the season sometimes early on is about, you know, players and a coach trying to figure out the roster and who fits where and what the roles are going to be. And I think Texas can leave the Maui Invitational knowing what players' roles are. And those players can know that as well. And I think that, you know, Brock Cunningham and Royce Ham were great examples of that. You know, they came off the bench and provided a lot of really, really good minutes. But they played in a way that they understand who they are. They're just out there to make a bunch of winning plays. They're out there to play tough, physical, really compete on defense, try to attack the glass. If they score on offense, cool, but that's not really an issue they're trying to force, although Brock Cunningham shot the ball really well from beyond the arc out in Nashville, North Carolina. But those guys just step up off the bench and they just make winning plays. And they kind of do those glue guy type plays, those high energy plays. There's a physicality to them. There's a toughness. There's very much an unselfishness to both those guys. And they know, hey, I'm going to come off the bench. There might be some nights where I might play only 10 minutes or maybe less than that because Kai Jones and Greg Brown and Jericho Sims are doing their thing and on the floor and playing fantastic and they're going to play 30 minutes. But they also know there's going to be some games like a lot of the games at the Maui Invitational where those guys might deal with foul trouble or they might just not be playing that well. And coach is going to tab me to come in the game and give them 20, 25. In the case of Brock in the Indiana game, 30 minutes. And those guys were picking up their team. I thought that both of those guys played a crucial role in all three games in North Carolina. I don't think Texas wins those games without Royce Ham and Brock Cunningham. And I think that they're a great example of this roster seems to have an early feel for individual players knowing who they are and what their jobs are and how they can go be successful on the floor. Also, too, Shaka Smart, if you look at the rotation, I think it's pretty clear what the rotation is. You've obviously got the five starters. You've got Kai Jones, one of the first guy coming off the bench. Brock Cunningham's probably the second guy coming off the bench. And then you've got Gerald Liddell and Royce Ham. I think that is your rotation. You know, Donovan Williams got in a little bit in the Indiana game, but I think it's clear that he's kind of down the pecking order in terms of being behind Liddell and that perimeter-type player. Like, in terms of the guards, Matt Coleman, Courtney Ramey, Andrew Jones, two of those guys are going to be on the floor, I think, at all times, unless they're just all in foul trouble or something has gone wrong. Two of those guys are going to be on the floor at all times. And with Liddell, he does have the ability to be a perimeter player if you need him to be, but he can also play that four spot or the three spot. You know, Texas can go small with Kai at the five, maybe even Greg at the five at times, although we haven't seen that, but I think it's pretty clear that Shaka has a feel for what his rotation is going to be. And I think the players understand that as well. And that's a really important thing to be able to go into games and you can look at your bench and you know which guys typically you're going to play, and know that, generally speaking, those guys have a feel for what their job is when they get out on the floor. And that's something that Texas, I think, struggled with last season. You know, obviously they played their best basketball at the end of the season when their personnel was forced to be different because of a bunch of injuries. And those guys just knew their roles. They knew they were going to play. And they went out and made a bunch of winning plays. And I think that's such a big difference about the potential of this Texas team is they're going to play guys that just make a lot of winning plays. You know, Royce Hamm and Brock Cunningham make a lot of winning plays. I think Joe Liddell kind of was a little bit underrated in that regard, just kind of getting his hands on some balls on defense, attacking the paint in transition and getting to the free throw line, not really forcing the issue on offense, not the best rebounder, but competing on the glass at times and things like that. Texas has some guys that are just going to go out on the floor and they're going to just try to make winning plays. And nobody epitomizes that better than Matt Coleman. But even Courtney Raymond, too, who didn't shoot the ball well during the tournament. But, you know, in that Indiana game, there were a couple of times where he and Brock Cunningham chest bumped each other after mixing it up after an offensive rebounding opportunity. And kind of at one point they forced the ball out of bounds. At the other point, they forced a turnover on Indiana. And they loved it. They loved that they were down there mixing up and being physical and just, you know, just competing and out competing Indiana. And there's a lot of that element to this team, which I think that is one of the reasons why you can kind of look at this group differently than the group that played much of last season, when guys like Brock Cunningham and Royce Hamm didn't really play a lot, and guys didn't really seemingly kind of know their roles. And the three guards, you know, Andrew Jones was getting used to playing with those guards again, and Courtney Raymond and Matt Coleman getting used to, you know, playing with each other in that sort of role. Those guys seem to have a different feel for what's going on. And also, too, there were some moments in that game where those guards were getting on each other about, hey, we need to do this. No, I want to do this. And just really talking things out and taking ownership of what's happening on the floor. I know, reading from readingorangebloods.com, Texas fans get so caught up in how the game looks at times and the offense and things like that. But the truth about college basketball is it's very much for I think, 99% of teams, it's very much a just figure out a way to win type of thing. It's not always going to be pretty, but the good teams figure out a way down the stretch to make the winning plays and win basketball games. And they're often doing it because of experienced guards. And I think that's what we saw against North Carolina. Just a bunch of things going against Texas. It's getting its ass absolutely kicked on the glass by North Carolina's front court anytime it misses a shot. It's not really getting the benefit of the officials. Its offense is kind of stagnated into a lot of one-on-one type of play and over dribbling. But they just found a way to win the game. You know, North Carolina throws an inbounds pass with about 2 seconds on the shot clock. Brock Cunningham mixes it up in there, tips the ball out, throws it up the court to Courtney Ramey, and Kai Jones gets a dunk with under a minute left, which you don't really see those transition opportunities that late in the game. You know, just figuring out a way to go win the basketball game. I think you could go look back at those games and watch them individually and just find a lot of examples of those, just those little winning types of plays. And that's what Shaka Smart wants this team to be about. And I think the, you know, perhaps the biggest plus in all this for Texas is that it won three different games against three different opponents, and it can play way better, both from a team element in an individual element as well. You know, Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones didn't shoot the ball well, especially in those Indiana and North Carolina games. You know, Andrew Jones had an uncharacteristic bad turnovers against North Carolina. And just, I think he's going to be the team's best three-point shooter. And it didn't show in Asheville, North Carolina. You know, Courtney Ramey just not really that efficient on offense. You know, Jericho Sims didn't score a point against North Carolina. You know, Kai Jones had some foul trouble moments, but Kai Jones also looked really, really good against North Carolina. I think that Kai Jones had, to me, one of the best examples of the mental mindset of this Texas team when, in late in that second half, when he dropped the alley-oop in midair before he was going to dunk it. You know, a young guy, sometimes they'll kind of, you know, they'll think about that. They'll think about that on defense. They'll think about it the next time on offense. It'll bother them for at least a little bit. Next offensive possession down the floor, Kai Jones gets the ball kind of top of the key, right inside the perimeter area. Jab steps a little bit, you know, pulls up and knocks down an NBA mid-range jump shot, like, just with full confidence. And I'm thinking, man, that's different. That dude is – that's different. You know, that's just totally just putting the last play behind you, which is something that Texas spends a ton of time talking about. Putting the last play behind you, flushing it, not worrying about it, and going out and trying to make the best play. Guy Jones wanted the basketball, and he wanted to go make a play. And man, did he have some bright NBA flashes. But he's a guy that can play better. I mentioned Jericho Sims. He can play better. I really thought that Greg Brown was about to come out of his shell in that North Carolina game if it wasn't for the foul trouble, because he made his first three-pointer. And then what he started doing is he started attacking. He started attacking in transition. He started attacking closeouts around the perimeter in the half-court offense. He started getting to the free throw line. I think he was starting to let the game come to him as opposed to forcing the game. And, you know, he got sat on the bench really early on in that North Carolina game. But after he came off the bench, he was a madman on the glass. He was flying all over the place for rebounds. I think that he was going to be the team's best rebounder in that game if he didn't deal with foul trouble. But he was playing with aggressiveness. He was really just flying around on both ends of the floor. And I think it's so cool to see a guy like Greg Brown and just his projected talent and one-and-done aspirations and those sorts of things. And I think that his face when Texas won, you go look at some of the photos and the reactions, he was the happiest guy on the floor. You know, and he didn't play particularly well. He can and will play way, way better. But there's not an element of feeling sorry for himself or whatever. He just wants to go out and win. And Greg Brown, I think, can play much, much better. And, you know, I mentioned his rebounding. He's actually leads the team in defensive rebounding percentage. Looking at the number right now, he's at 30.8%. That's 30th in the country. That's a really, really good rate. And I think that he can even improve there as a rebounder. But he is going to play better. Courtney Ramey is going to play better. Andrew Jones is going to shoot the ball and play better. I think Kai Jones is going to stay on the floor more. Jericho Sims is going to play better than the guy that didn't score a point against North Carolina. And, you know, I think Brock Cunningham and Royce Hamm are typical of even elevating their game a little bit, although I think that the consistency they showed in terms of those glue guy type plays and those energy plays, I think that that's something they can do consistently. But this is a Texas team that can play a lot better, and it needs to play a lot better if you're going to win a lot of games in the Big 12, because the league looks awesome. Heading into the season, it looked like the best league in college basketball. It's only reinforced that by the way it's playing right now. It's playing at a really, really high level. But Texas will need to improve, and it can improve. There's a lot of reasons I think you can kind of find and say, hey, you know what? This guy can play better. The team can play better here. And it's not really an unrealistic projection to say Andrew Jones is going to shoot the ball better, that Courtney Ramey is going to become a little bit more efficient, that Greg Brown is his best basketball is definitely ahead of him. And also, too, I think you're seeing Texas show some signs of improvement in some areas that were major emphasis points. Now, the rebounding in the North Carolina game was brutal. A lot of that was because North Carolina, I think, is the best front court in the country in terms of depth and talent and rebounding, which is saying something because West Virginia's is really, really good too. But just the amount of bodies that North Carolina can bring off the bench that are just, you know, basically five-star guys in the way they attack the glass, that's going to be the best front court Texas plays in that regard. But even with that, Texas against Indiana rebounded well, held Davidson to, I think, 5 offensive rebounds. But also, too, Texas is attacking the offensive glass some as well. It actually ranks right now 69th nationally in the country in offensive rebounding percentage at 32.4%, which would easily be the best number of a Shaka Smart team at Texas. It can get way better. It needs to get way better, both on both ends of the floor. I mean, they've got a defensive rebound better than they did against North Carolina and they at times in those previous three games as well. But they're showing some signs of life there, and they're getting to the free throw line. Texas right now, its free throw rate is 40.1. That's 75th in the country in terms of the rate. That's an improvement. Texas' two-point field goal percentage is solid. You know, it's not giving up steals on offense. Its turnover rate can improve, but it's not really giving up a lot of those live ball turnovers that so often lead to buckets the other way. And defensively, I think they're going to do a better job in the future of defending without fouling. But you know what? This is a team that's preached aggressiveness all offseason, all preseason. And once that rate kind of normalizes a little bit, I think that Texas is going to be more than okay with some fouls, because it means that they're being aggressive. And I think they're going to be okay with trying to play that way. You know, they've extended the floor a little bit. They're not quite the up-tempo team that they want to be. And the half-court offensive possession length is still pretty lengthy at times. But Texas is getting out in transition more than they did last season. I think that they had 22 or 24 points in transition against Indiana, which was one of the top marks of the Shaka Smart era. They are doing a pretty good job of something that they've spent some time on, which is don't dribble the ball up the floor. Pass the ball up the floor. And if you catch it on the wing, put your head down and attack. Greg Brown has done that really well. Gerald Liddell's done it a couple times to get to the free throw line. Andrew Jones has done that pretty well. Matt Coleman and Corey Remey done a good job throwing the ball up the floor and trying to find those big guys that are running the floor so well, those big athletes and things like that. So I think you can kind of see some signs of growth in some of the areas that Texas wants to get better. There's no doubt they can be a better offensive rebounding team, and there's no doubt they got to be a better defensive rebounding team than the one that played against North Carolina. But I think, too, you got to kind of tip your hats on to North Carolina. That was a front court that played possessed in the second half. It was allowed to throw its weight around. It did throw its weight around, and it really attacked the glass. And with some of the foul trouble that Texas was dealing with, it's a really difficult situation. But that Texas can't afford to have those types of games in the future in the Big 12, because Baylor's really going to test it there. West Virginia's really going to test it there. And I think there'll probably be some other teams in the league that test it as well. But really, just kind of hammer, going back to the main point I wanted to hammer is, this is a Texas team that can play much better. And I think it's a team, especially if you just look at player by player, that those guys are going to improve. As Shaka Smart says, I borrow this phrase from him a lot, progress is not always linear. It's very much an up-and-down thing, especially for guys in college basketball. And I think you're going to see a lot of that up-and-down still going on as the season progresses, especially given the schedule. I mean, the upcoming game Sunday is against Villanova at 12 p.m. on ESPN. Villanova right now, according to KenPom.com, is the number 3 team in the country. According to BartTorvik.com, it's the number 10 team in the country. Texas on BartTorvik.com is number 3 in the country. And on KenPom.com, it's number 4 in the country. So Texas just played number 79 Davidson, number 17 Indiana, number 15 North Carolina, according to KenPom. Now they got to play number 3 Villanova, and then it eventually opens Big 12 play with number 2 Baylor. So the competition is not going anywhere, and I think you're going to still see an element of that up and down aspect for this team. But this is a team that can play better, and I think this is a team that's showing some signs of improvement in some emphasis points area in the offseason, which I think is a positive when the team is kind of receptive to what the coaching was trying to get them to improve at. Over the offseason. And also, too, this looks like, you know, so much of what Shaka Smart talks about is just kind of losing yourself in the fight and being aggressive and flying around on defense and playing with confidence on offense and guys just understanding their roles and things like that. And that's what this team looks like right now. This, to me, and again, we're talking about a very small sample size, but we're also talking about a sample size that includes 3 impressive wins. This, to me, looks like one of those, you know, kind of traditional VCU Shaka Smart teams. Now, the talent is way better than any VCU team that Shaka Smart had. Just in terms of the way their body language, their energy, the way they carry themselves, the way they're trying to play, I think that this group so far kind of most closely resembles kind of those ghosts that I think, you know, Shaka Smart has kind of been chasing and that Texas fans have wanted to see ever since he's been hired. But this is a team that needs to improve. This is a team that can improve. I think that you'll see it, especially with those individual players. But this is also a team that just passed a really, really big sequence of first tests by leaving home, going on the road and playing a neutral site tournament against and winning 3 games in 3 days against 3 good teams, including 2, I think, really, really good basketball teams, and winning games in different ways and just figuring out ways to win in just total team effort games. So much foul trouble. Guys coming off the bench and stepping up. The guards showing how much experience playmaking matters and just kind of leading the way, especially with Matt Coleman. And just playing the game in a way that Shaka Smart wants those guys to play just from a mental and an energy type thing. So long story short, I think this is definitely much different than that Purdue performance on the road last season, when it looked like, you know, Texas had some huge things ahead. But in reality, that was a flawless performance, basically. There were not flawless performances at Asheville, North Carolina. Even in the Indiana game, that was a 22-point blowout, an extremely impressive on the defensive end, especially in the interior. That was some of the best interior defense a team can play in college basketball. There are areas of, hey, you know, individual guys and the team can play better than this. It wasn't perfect. And that's what you want to do early on this season, is you want to generate results, you want to find ways to win, you want to build confidence. But you also, too, want to understand that this is there's more growth to come with this thing. So I think Texas fans should be excited about what they've seen so far. How could you not be 4-0 and win the Maui Invitational? But, you know, understanding that the tough competition is not going to stop, but also understanding that while this team is a work in progress, it's finding ways to win, and it's also showing some real signs of growth in some of those key areas that it needed to improve on in the offseason. And you know what? When you have a Matt Coleman running the show, you're going to be in every single basketball game, I think. When you have that experience of a senior and that talented of a guy with those mental intangibles and that playmaking ability, you're going to be in every single game with a guy like Matt Coleman. And that's just, you know, that's what showed in that North Carolina game. Things were a mess. Texas losing the battle on the glass. There's foul trouble. The offense is stagnated. North Carolina is really doing a great job defensively. And Matt Coleman goes out and scores 14 points and then goes and wins the game. That's the value of having an experienced guard like that. So with that, we'll wrap up episode 53 of the Drop and Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I am Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at DMcComasOB. Go to orangebloods.com and check out all of our basketball coverage, and get to theyak.com and check out all of our great podcasts. I'm actually late to the orangebloods.com staff podcast, so I've got to jump off here real quick and go join the gang, the OB gang, for the weekly modcast. So listen to that when it comes out as well. So until I talk to you all next time, stay safe. Enjoy the holiday time. Get those Christmas lights up. Go buy some Pennsylvania Dutch eggnog and have some of those glasses, and just enjoy yourself and take care.